Welcome to Faith Football Friends. I'm Chris Elrod here with Forrest the Towel Bear and Cole Parsley, the Gamer Theologian. So, today we are going to talk about the ever-popular verse, Joshua 24, 14 through 15. It is very likely that this passage is hanging up on your wall in your home, or that it was hanging up in your house growing up. It reads, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faith and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord." And this is where it gets really popular, verse 15. "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Forrest, why don't you kind of introduce to us what's going on in the book of Joshua and talk about what is going on in Joshua's life at this point?
Yeah, so Joshua, as most of our listeners probably know, was Moses's protege, if you will, was his the man who followed him and took over his job. Moses dies at the end of Deuteronomy. Joshua takes over the mantle as the leader of Israel. Throughout the book of Joshua, they're conquesting the land of Canaan, divvying up the land by tribes. And then this is the end of Joshua's life. He knows he's dying. He knows he's about to pass away. And they're renewing sort of the covenant at Shechem. And he's going through the history of Israel. He says, "This is what happened. This is everything God's done for us. And you're no longer going to have me as a leader." And he's just trying to get them to affirm that they're going to stick up to their end of the bargain of the covenant. Because a covenant, you know, a covenant's an agreement between two parties. So they have to serve the Lord. They can't turn their back on the Lord and serve the other gods. Otherwise, they will not be able to dwell in the land. So Joshua's almost like, okay, my life's about to be over. I need to make sure that these guys know how serious this is and that they know that this is what they have to do for everything to go well.
Yeah, that's a great summary and kind of an introduction to what we're going to be talking about. So ultimately, this is almost like Joshua's own funeral speech. Like he's just kind of wrapping up, you know, what's going on or what has gone on, and is kind of just one last exhortation to serve the Lord. And it's interesting because ultimately, serving the Lord does come down to a choice. You know, we all have to just make the choice to serve God, and sometimes it's easier to, you know, just verbally say, "I'm going to serve the Lord," than it is to put it into action. But Joshua isn't just talking about, you know, kind of talking the talk. He's talking about walking the walk as well, and truly setting out to serve the Lord. And I think there's some determination in Joshua's voice here. You know, he's saying, "I am going to do it. I am going to walk the walk." The interesting part to me is that if you look at the beginning of Joshua chapter 24, you kind of see Joshua go through a lot of the history that they have experienced. You know, he talks about all that God has done for them throughout their time as God's people. And he's like, "Look, you know, God has done all of this for you. Based upon all that God has done for you, decide, are you going to serve the Lord?" And I think that's a super important application for our life. You know, we have to look at what all God has done for us, and then we have to make a decision based upon all that God's done for us. You know, everyone who is alive has a reason to serve the Lord. The reason is life in general, life alone. You know, we have to recognize the blessings that God has given us and seek to serve him. Cole, what do you think about Joshua 24 and verse 15 and this larger passage of scripture as well?
Yeah, I think there's a lot that obviously we're going to talk about here, but one that maybe is hidden that we don't recognize right away is Joshua is essentially saying, "I'm no longer going to be able to babysit you. I think it's very similar to how a mother and father should tell their children, okay, you're 18 years old. Now it's time for you to decide. We've helped grow you in the Lord. We've helped grow you in how we think you ought to live. We hope you stay in school. We hope you keep your job, whatever it may be. We hope you keep your morals and not go crazy partying. Now you have to decide this day what you're going to do. It's no longer, you can no longer hold their hand anymore. And I think that's what Joshua's doing here to Israel.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting too. There's a little nugget. If you keep reading in verse 31, it says, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, and had known all the work that the Lord did for Israel. But then when you turn to the next book, the book of Judges, it says there grew up a generation after those elders died. It even talks about those elders dying. There grew up a generation that had forgotten what the Lord had done for Israel. So it's almost like Joshua knew that after I'm gone, there's kind of a vacuum of leadership. And that's what we see in the book of Judges. The people just do whatever they want, and these judges are raised up. But again and again, there's this cycle of Israel falling again into sin. So that's a good point. Like, almost like Joshua knew, maybe God revealed it to him. But with him leaving, it only took one more generation until Israel was serving other gods.
And it's interesting that, this next generation is described as a people who forget what God has done. You know, I think that's such an important concept for us to grasp. That I'm willing to talk about it again, because I know I just kind of mentioned it. But, you know, in verse 31, he even says, and had known all the work that the Lord did for Israel. You know, and it's whenever we're focused on what God has done for us that it makes it easier for us to serve him.
Yeah, I think it's connected. What we believe affects how we live. That's seen all throughout Scripture. That's why I think idols are so important. Not only is God a jealous God, but if you start worshiping false gods, it's false teaching. You're going to listen to this false teaching, and it's going to change the way you behave. You can't get away with believing whatever you want to believe that's false out there. There's bad consequences to it. And clinging to the truth is the only way. It's how you're going to behave.
This is a little bit off topic, but something I just noticed. I just read this, I think like last week, as a part of the chronological Bible reading plan my congregation is doing. And one thing that jumped out to me that I never noticed before, in verse 14, when Joshua says, put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, I always thought beyond the river meant beyond the river Jordan. But then when you read in the context in verse number 2, it says, Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago, your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. So Joshua's really talking about beyond the river Euphrates. So he's going all the way back to Abraham. And sometimes people forget that Abraham and his family were idolaters. And that's when God called Abraham. And when you read in the book of Genesis, Abraham, after being called for God by God, is still hasn't put away the gods of his father's household until his father dies. And then it records in Genesis that then Abraham put away the God of his father's household. So I think it's interesting, you know, sometimes we view Abraham as the father of the faithful, and we should, but through this lens of like, really his only flaw was he lied a couple of times. But even Abraham, the father of the faithful, came from a background of idolatry and struggled with it more than I think sometimes we remember that he did. So, and Joshua's saying, you come from idolaters. You're in a land of idolatry. You have to make up your mind and say right now, like, be committed right now to only serve the Lord.
I think that's a great point. I had never thought about that, about Abraham and the idolatry. And I think it's an interesting point because obviously, you know, being involved in youth ministry, whenever I read this verse, I think about the commitment that parents need to make to, you know, model their faith, you know, for their children, you know, because Joshua makes it clear, you know, that his household, not just himself, but him and his household are going to serve the Lord, that they're going to be faithful. You know, in youth ministry, we talk so much about how, or in, at school, in college, we're taught so much about how The faith of the parents is going to be kind of passed down to the children. A lot of times children just kind of adopt their parents' faith. And obviously that's not always the case, but more often than not it is. And we kind of see that with Abraham. You know, we kind of saw that, you know, he kept those idols around because they were the idols of his father and stuff. And he kind of adopted that faith. And so it's just kind of interesting to see how the two relate, you know, because Joshua here is making it clear, like, look, don't be like Abraham, essentially, you know, don't serve those false gods, but serve the Lord. And if families make that decision, if they make that conscious choice to serve God and seek him wholeheartedly, then their families are going to benefit. Their children are more likely to make that same decision. Super important for us to think about.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we're tempted to not bring up possible temptations in the name of not making them a temptation, right? So, like, if we just never talk about this sin, then somehow that increases the likelihood that our family won't struggle with it or that these people won't struggle with it. Mm. Like, sometimes we try to avoid things almost like, I don't want to, like, speak it into existence, you know?
Right, yeah.
But sometimes you need to just say, like, hey, this is a struggle. This is something that we've been struggling with a long time. We need to just put this out there, and we need to commit to avoiding it. And that's better than having this, like, unspoken secret thing we hope nobody does and just not voicing it just in case we give somebody the wrong idea, you know?
Right.
Joshua's like, no, we're going to get it all out there in the open. Here's this long history. Here's everything God has done. Here's how we failed him. Let's commit to doing the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great point, you know, because God had done a lot for them. And, you know, that problem needed to be addressed. Because I think sometimes, too, we can, like, it would have been easy in that situation, like, hey, look, that's in the past. We're not going to do that again. Like, we've learned from that, you know. But Joshua's like, hey, let's make sure we've learned from that. You know, let's make sure that we have moved to a more mature point in our walk with God.
I think it shows, like, the overall philosophy you have to have when you're following God in this world, and that is that no matter what happens around you, you got to have the attitude of, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, no matter what happens in the outside world, I know what we're going to do. Mm. No matter what happens. And in this scenario, he's talking about a lot of idolatry and various worshiping of other gods, but you can plug in your situation in our culture and do the very same thing. There's so many distractions.
And especially right now, you know, COVID-19, that's kind of a big deal. I don't know if you heard about it or not, but...
No, I haven't.
Okay, yeah, it's a big virus. You should look it up. Or just turn on your TV. Or log into Facebook. But, like, as much of an opportunity as this has been for us to slow down and for us to spend more time in God's Word and kind of recharge ourselves spiritually, I feel like it's also been a time where people are asking a lot of questions, you know, like, why is this happening? And I feel like it's brought up as much of an opportunity of doubt as it has of growth. Now, I'm a strong believer that doubt kind of can brew or can sprout growth. You know, so I think there would definitely be an overwhelming amount of growth that comes from this situation. But, you know, no matter what virus hits, no matter what war starts, no matter what my bank account looks like, no matter what happens to my family, I have to be committed to serving the Lord. And I thought that was a great point, Cole.
Yeah, and I love how the decision's made ahead of time. You know, it's not like Joshua's going to force his family into doing this, but he's saying, look, we've already made up our minds. This is what we're going to do. And sometimes going into situations that are going to be tempting, it helps to make up our mind ahead of time. You know, instead of being like, oh, well, we won't even get there. But to think, okay, if it comes down to this, what are we going to do? You know, oh, we're still going to do X, Y, Z. And I don't know who this quote originates with, but I think it's true. You know, the more big decisions you make, the less small decisions you have to make. So if I can make these big overarching decisions, like if I've already decided that I'm going to serve the Lord, I don't need to make a day-to-day decision when so-and-so tempts me to be an idolater. Like, I've already made a decision to serve the Lord. And when you think about it, in a way, our confession and our baptism is just that. Like, we no longer have to make these small decisions because I've already made a commitment in front of witnesses and have been buried with Christ in baptism. And sometimes I think a lot of times we don't look at it like that, but that's really, especially, you know, in New Testament times, that was a big deal to confess in front of men that Jesus Christ is Lord and then to, in front of witnesses, be baptized. Like, that's a big deal, and it should lead us to faithfulness and obedience from here on out.
I think that's a fantastic point. Let's go through like some scenarios of these small changes in your life where if you have this overarching philosophy, if you've already made the commitment to follow Christ or to follow God and God's will, then all of a sudden when you have to make a split second decision, you're going to make the right choice. And I'll start us off. Let's say, you know, it's COVID-19. My family's getting a little hungry. We can't go to the grocery store. There's no bread. The baby's crying. And all of a sudden, I'm at my neighbor's house, and I shouldn't be, but I see a loaf of bread. I want that bread. I want to steal that bread for my family. But I say, no, I can't do that. I already made a commitment. Everything I do in my life is I'm going to serve the Lord.
That's a good example. Forrest, do you have one, or do you want me to go?
I'll go real quick. That is a good point, Cole. Hopefully it doesn't come to that.
Yeah, because it was definitely a dramatic situation.
I don't know if you've ever seen The Hunger Games, but there's a scene where Katniss Everdeen is wanting to steal some bread, but Peeta, the baker's son, just gives some to her. So if all else fails, befriend a baker. That's what we got to learn from that. But I would say that I think you – are you guys familiar with the Mike Pence rule?
No.
The atheist?
No, the vice president of the United States of America.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Common mistake. Mike Pence, you know, he's very open about his, you know, Christian faith. And he says that he does not allow himself to be alone with a woman who's not his wife ever. It doesn't matter if it's a member of his staff, a reporter, anybody. He doesn't let it happen. And I think that's an example of he made one big decision to never cheat on his wife. So now he doesn't have to make the case by case. Oh, am I going to be alone with her? Am I going to be alone with her? Am I going to be alone with her? He just says, look, I don't do it. And he got into a lot of flack. Oh, you're sexist. Oh, this, that, the other. He's like, I don't care, man. I just don't do it. Like, that choice to him was so important that he's willing to look like a fool, but he's not going to make all these little decisions. He already made one big decision, and he's sticking with it, which I respect.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to kind of go along those same lines, because once you choose to serve the Lord, you know, you've chosen to avoid sin at all costs. And I think a lot of times the best way to avoid sin is to avoid a tempting situation, you know? So, you know, maybe if I am tempted to drink, then and I know that there's going to be a party with alcohol, then I'm just going to choose not to go to the party to avoid that tempting situation, you know, because I've committed to serve the Lord. You know, I've put Christ on in baptism, and I have dedicated my life to serving him. I've made that claim to serve the Lord. And so based upon that claim, I'm going to go forth and serve the Lord faithfully all the days of my life, just as my partners in crime on this podcast are going to do. It's been a lot of fun discussing Joshua 24 and verse 15 and the surrounding context. I hope that you have grown from our discussion and that you enjoy the podcast. We have been kind of just going through some different Bible passages the past couple of weeks, and we would like to invite you to offer up a Bible verse for us to go through. So if there's a particular passage that you want us to discuss, email it to us at faithfootballfriends@gmail.com, and we will certainly consider talking about that. Hope you'll stick around and listen to the podcast. The next couple of sections, we're going to talk about a little bit of football and then primarily do our friends section. But if you are unable to listen to the rest of the podcast, be sure to like us on Facebook, be sure to share us, and give us a positive review there on Facebook as well. Hope you'll stick around and listen. Welcome back to Faith Football Friends. It is time for our friends portion with a little bit of football action. But first, we're going to give you a hilarious clip of the alter ego of Cole Parsley, better known as Pole Carsley. Here we go.
Yeah, today, yeah, that there's a storm coming, yeah. It's like the fire of hell, yeah.
So, Cole, give us a little bit of backstory. Where did that voice come from? How did you get inspired to do that?
So, I don't know. A bit of a pastime of mine is looking up videos of various preachers on YouTube and I guess poke fun of or laugh at the various videos you can find. There's one of a Star Wars preacher. Just type that in YouTube. You will have a good time, I promise. And then there's plenty like this of the revving it up preachers, the old school hellfire and brimstone, the yeah, just right there getting after it. And I don't know. Me and my wife have been talking a lot lately about the quote-unquote preacher voice. And she says I have a small one. And then so now I've been noticing it in others. And it's just something been on my mind lately. Thought it would be funny. Hope it was.
I think it's hilarious. It made me laugh out loud.
It brings up a good point about the preacher's voice. Do you think it's wrong to have a preacher's voice?
No. Like,
I'm not saying you do, but I think that's a good topic for discussion.
As a young preacher, like, just, you know, I'm talking 3 years ago, I set out that I would not be that guy. Like, you go around and you tell people you're going to be a preacher, and then, for me at least, first thing I went to is those guys who are just up there and they're they're red faced, they're sweating, and I said I would not do that. And then for my wife to say, yeah, you got a preacher's voice, it's like, what? That's a huge blow, man.
You need to tell her you don't know what a preacher's voice is. This is a preacher's voice, and send her a video of one of those guys. Unless you have, so your tie's got to be so tight that like your jugular is popping out, and you're sweating. And you're wiping your forehead with a Naki, and you got the Revan going, you got the deep accent, you got the King James only, bro. Yes, that whole
you
vibe.
You gotta go. You have to be King James. See, I'm ESV. You know, I'm the new generation.
Yeah, you're the new generation.
See, I was told in my senior year of high school I had a preaching voice. It was nothing like what you're describing right now. But like, it was like a speech class in school, and they were like, yeah, you should just be more conversational. And so like, that's what I tried to do. But I thoroughly enjoy the King James only preacher voice that you were doing.
that's what we'll call it. That's the new name, the King James preaching voice. There we go.
It is... to a degree natural to have a different voice when you're addressing a crowd of people
over a serious issue.
Right. And even the only reason we might be uncomfortable with preacher voices now is because microphones have been invented. Before the microphone, it would be impossible to be conversational when you're preaching to a crowd. You know, like you would have to.
Absolutely.
You would have to put something on it.
I wonder if that rev is them catching their breath. Like, not trying to be funny, but if you gotta yell over a large crowd, I wonder if that's them catching their breath, where that started. And then, of course, people copied it and was like, oh, that's how you preach right there.
I bet that kind of makes sense, because it kind of sounds like a deep breath.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what it sounds like.
I'm gonna
tell you today. Yeah. It also sounds like a demon or like a gargoyle.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that.
That's what I imagine a gargoyle sounds like.
I don't know what that is, but...
You know what a gargoyle is?
No.
Cole, do you know what a gargoyle is?
Oh, my goodness, man. So you're telling me when you grew up as a child, you didn't watch that gargoyle show?
It was so
amazing.
Good.
Did you watch that first?
It was so good.
Did it come on Cartoon Network?
No, it was Disney.
I didn't watch much Disney as a kid.
Vintage
Disney.
You didn't watch it?
Not until like I was older.
You know those creepy figures with wings on old stone buildings or like carved out of stone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a gargoyle, but they came,
and they
alive
came alive
at night. Yeah, listen. Yeah, so you have seen it.
Listen. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Last time we talked about Disney, we got a negative review.
Great. Never to talk about this. Let's talk about
this. We have to talk about this. But wait, hold on. Those characters are actually from the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And that is where I remember them from, is that movie, not the actual show. If I'm not mistaken, I might be
wrong. Not the same characters, but they are gargoyles.
They're not the
same characters? It's a myth. No, it's a myth. Gargoyles come alive at night and are like creatures.
No, that's true.
And both shows are like capitalizing on that myth.
So you mean to tell me that Disney made a movie, had those characters, and then changed them for a TV show?
The show may have predated the movie. We got to look it up.
Okay, we will look into that.
But the gargoyles in the show were bad, dude. You didn't want to mess with them. They would rip you up. They were like crime-fighting super dudes. Some of them are evil. They would like fight each other. The gargoyles in The Hunchback are like
goofy
punks. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Cool. I don't remember the show. I do just remember that. But let's get down to this review, because that review made me mad. Our Facebook page had existed for less than an hour. Less than an hour. Homeboy reads our title of our first episode.
Didn't listen to the title.
He didn't have time to listen to the episode. And starts roasting us. And that is why I ask people to give us a positive review at the end of every episode. Is because that dude came in and just roasted us. Didn't even listen to it.
No. If you go to Facebook right now and type in Faith Football Friends and go to our page, it'll say 1 star out of 5. And the one review we have, it our first episode was something about Disney.
Cole was in
Disney. I went to Disney World.
Yeah, Cole was
in Disney World. And he didn't like Disney. And he doesn't like NFL football.
I'll read you the review. This is what the review is. Okay. I don't like football anymore. And Disney promotes the LGBTQers in their movies, etc.
One star review.
One star.
You're never going to make it. All your dreams are crushed.
So you can go on. If you like the show and you listen to it, even if you marginally like the show, even if you think this is a 3-star podcast, that's better than 1 star.
Yeah.
And if you have a valid reason, that's fine. We appreciate that. But if you can go on Facebook and drop a review, we would really appreciate it, because right now we're 1 star because somebody's grandfather no longer likes football and thinks Disney's are pushing LGBTQ agenda.
Right.
Hey. Remember when somebody get their grandpa?
Is that someone's response to the review?
No. Forrest knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it was something in the group chat.
Yeah, I remember it, but I'm just trying to...
It was on Corona, wasn't it? It was on
Corona.
Oh, it was something Forrest sent us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody was like, all these white-collar workers sitting at home. All these soy boy white-collar workers sitting at home. Don't worry, us tradesmen will take care of it, or something like that.
Yeah.
He said somebody get their grandpa and straight up roasting back to the 19th century.
Yeah. If that was your grandfather, we're sorry.
If that was your grandfather.
Please don't leave a negative review.
Yeah, please. But hey, at least your negative review would be somewhat justifiable. This homeboy.
Yes. If you
just
give
like
us a negative review over that comment,
we can accept that. Right. But if you just read the title of one of the episodes and the title of the podcast and then give us a 1-star review based on those two pieces of information.
Right.
Look, for all he knew, I was kidnapped and taken to Disney World against my own free will. He doesn't know. He has no idea.
Well,
that's
true,
but that is...
Logic would say that is unlikely.
Highly unlikely.
Okay, fair.
But did we specify what part of Disney we were talking about?
No,
like,
just said Disney. Just said Disney.
Right.
Or Disney World, I think.
Yeah. Okay. And so, like, it really doesn't make sense. Like, literally just wanted to roast us. Yeah, the name of it was Baptism, Titans, Disney World, and Caffeine. And from that, he decided...
This isn't
that our
for me.
...podcast is trash. But, like, But, like, tons of people saw our first episode and decided, yeah, this isn't for me. Tons of people saw the title of the podcast and said, yeah, this isn't for me.
Only one person cared enough.
Dictate their opinion on everybody else.
Yeah.
Yes.
To say, hey, y'all shouldn't listen to this podcast because I'm not going to listen to this podcast. That's essentially what the guy said.
You could have sent us a message. You could have posted something. But he left a review.
And, like, that impacts our Facebook page. Like,
yeah, no, it does.
It's a huge, like, it affects the algorithm. Like, just everything. So, it's just ridiculous. I'll get off my soapbox.
So, if you can leave a review on Facebook, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Forrest will send you $5. Okay. So, moving on before Forrest can respond.
Then he starts having a conversation with his wife.
What, we're just supposed to take over from that, dude? You're going to drop that off to us?
So, story time.
You know what I'm saying?
I learned an amazing lesson this week. I have two dogs. One dog is like a saint. I never knew dogs had feelings. Thor, he does have feelings. Thor does love other dogs and loves other people, right? He isn't fleshly, as Paul would say, but he's looking out for the other person. My other dog, Ceci, anytime there's food, she doesn't hesitate. She's getting the food. She doesn't think about sharing. They fight all the time because he wants to eat whatever she's got, that kind of thing. Anyways, one morning, gave the dog two chicken strips. And Ceci, we had just got her. She was chained up in the back because we didn't have the torture device, the electric collar for her yet. And that's an inside joke. Anyway, I don't torture. Anyways, Thor actually brought her a chicken strip. He brought this dog a chicken strip and laid it at her feet for her to eat. I have never heard of that in my life, dude. That is that's amazing, isn't it?
That's amazing.
Pretty impressive. Yeah.
That's incredible. Anyways, well, there's been several times I've went to give Thor food and she'll take his food and she's just selfish. It's stingy, man. It's stingy. It's sinful. Well, Jesus says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And I've had trouble understanding that until it dawned on me yesterday when I cooked pork chops. And I was thinking to myself, okay, the first pork chop I throw on the ground, she's going to rush and get, and Thor's just going to let her do it. So I'm going to give her the smaller pork chop and save the bigger pork chop for the less stingy person. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Hey, dude, I think it fits.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
So, but when you give, what's her name? Ceci?
Ceci, yeah.
So when you give Ceci.
He just rolled his eyes so hard at the name of my dog.
He basically
the Titus called... name her?
No, okay, so she's Ceci, you get what I'm saying? Like she's a set, that's her personality, and her eyes are like crystal blue, and ice in some other language is Ceci. So we thought it fit in both ways. Yeah. Not rolling your eyes anymore, are you, punk?
Some other language?
Yeah, I don't
remember. Some other language?
Yeah, I don't remember.
And what is it in some other language? Blue?
Blue?
Yeah, it means blue for her eyes. But Lauren didn't like the name blue, so I had to look up some cool name in another language. You get what I'm
saying? Okay, I see. So
you just lied to your wife and made up some word.
No. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. It's okay.
All right, cool. she doesn't, is she upset that she has the smaller pork chop or she just doesn't know?
No, she doesn't even notice because her head's in the pork chop, you know, she doesn't know. She thinks she got the first and it's the same way with greedy people who think that they're getting all the toilet paper while we're left without. God sees it and God gives us the better portion.
Just got real. Just got real.
God give
got the King James going, bro.
This is an average conversation with Cole. It's like really insightful and then incredibly goofy. That's pretty accurate. Well, that's pretty cool. All right, so Forrest, we've been playing. Well, wait, let me back up a little bit. It's April. April is a very special time of year.
Yes.
Especially for Faith Football friends.
Yeah.
Because both of my co-hosts, of this show, Forrest and Cole, were born in the month of April. And so that's April true. Is a very, very special time for this show. Cole was born April 3rd, and then Forrest was born. His birthday hasn't passed yet, so this one's a little bit trickier. Is it the 23rd? The 13th. Okay. Yep. Oh, I knew that. That's your – oh, man, that's your everything. Like, any username is 413.
Don't.
I should have known that.
Now everybody's going to know my passwords, too.
Oh, crap.
I'm just joking.
Right. I said your username. Like, I don't know any of your passwords, so you revealed that.
Okay. So he said he was just joking to cover it up, the fact that that's his actual password. Yeah.
All of my passwords.
Glory413.
Yeah.
That's his passwords. I'm going to rob you blind tonight. Just joking, because I've already decided I'm going to serve the Lord, and therefore I will not rob you blind.
Amen.
See what I did there? Okay. But Forrest became a different person. April 1st, both years that we were at Free Together. April hit, and Forrest all of a sudden became the happiest man on earth, because it was warm again in Tennessee, and it's spring, and the
grass
air
is green,
yeah,
snow's melted,
trees are blooming,
everything.
Like, yes. I mean, now granted, in Tennessee, we have barely any snow, but, you know, like, it is happy time for Forrest in April. I will never forget that. Dude literally became a different person. But Cole's birthday was just 3 days ago. I guess that was Friday. And I decided that since it was Cole's birthday, I was going to do something kind of special. I decided I was going to get myself Madden 20. Okay, I had not updated Madden yet. So for Cole's birthday, I decided that I was going to do that. And so now I have Madden 20, but I was only going to do it if Forrest was going to be able to do it for Cole's birthday as well. Forrest talked to Lori, his wife, and
she let me buy it.
Yeah, she granted him permission. And
happy birthday, Cole.
Yeah, we're very blessed by Cole's birthday today because we both got Madden 20.
I don't want to sound ungrateful. Okay. But this reminds me of when I was a child and I was in the grocery store. I had $10 and there were games for sale for $10. And I bought my brother on his birthday the game I thought looked cool. You know what I'm saying?
This is essentially the same exact thing.
Yeah, essentially. Except for you're not giving us money.
I don't want to sound ungrateful. But, yeah.
Hey, Cole.
You're welcome.
The last will be first, man. The last will be first.
This is true.
So take heart. God sees.
He did.
So, we've been playing Madden 20 a little bit, and
without Cole.
Without Cole,
I haven't even got invited.
Forrest and I play Madden on a semi-regular basis. Lately, it's been more regular than semi-regular, but we've been playing a little bit of Madden. But we've decided that Madden 20 is a pretty great Madden. And so, Forrest, why don't you elaborate on some of the reasons Madden 20 is so great, and then I'll give a couple of reasons I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Madden 20 is good. It's the first time in a while they added something to the game that's not completely cheesy and actually gives you almost like a game within a game. So you have these X-Factor players that you have to check off certain things to unlock the X-Factor. So it's like not only are you trying to win, but you're trying to get your X-Factor player to go through the different hoops he needs to jump through to get the X factor, and then he gets like better essentially. So that's really cool. It's just sleeker, better interface. I just like it. Like, it just seems less cheesy, a little bit more realistic.
Yeah.
Just overall, it's a really good game.
Cole, you have Madden 20, right?
Yeah, I bought it on the release date. I think it was back in August.
Yeah.
So I forgot about all these. All
right. have you enjoyed it? Like, have you thought it was a good Madden?
Oh yeah, it was a spectacular Madden. The X Factors. Yeah. That was amazing. It was brilliant.
The X Factors aren't my favorite part. My favorite part of Madden, this Madden, is the RPOs. I've wanted an RPO in Madden.
That's true.
For a long time.
Yeah.
And there were plays that operated similarly, but, like, none of them operated completely correct. Like, you didn't actually have a true run-pass option. Now, granted, I've probably run these plays 5 times and turned the ball over 3 times whenever I've run them. But, no, I've probably actually had more success than that. But, like, it is. Like, every time I choose to run one of those plays, it's like, this might be a turnover. But I haven't done any, like, the practice stuff to, like, actually learn how to do it either. I've just been kind of going at it blind. But that's one of my favorite features of it. I'm also excited about that, like, and Cole, maybe you've tried this already, but, like, you have the opportunity to, like, draft, like, a team of, like, current players and, like, put together a team of, like, all-stars. And then, like, you can play people online and stuff. I don't know. But I can't remember what it's called. You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea. Is this a quick play feature?
It's not Madden Ultimate Team, is it?
It's not the Ultimate Team. It's like, I think it's more like arcade style, I think. But I might be wrong. I may be a way off. I don't know. I haven't actually looked at it much because I was about to, and then you were like, hey, yeah, I can play. And so I abandoned it to come and play.
Cole, is your eye that itchy, bro?
Bro, yes. My eye is dying right now.
Cole looked like he was plucking out his eye. Because of how
I've never seen anybody itch their eye like that in my life. Not to cut you off, Chris. I'm sorry.
No,
I wanted
it's fine.
To make sure he was okay.
Yeah.
Couldn't be better.
I wanted to go fine.
Had an amazing birthday. Both my friends bought themselves a game. It's been wow.
Yeah. I'm really excited about
Hashtag blessed.
I haven't decided what I'm going to get myself for Forrest's birthday yet, but it's going to be good.
I think I'm getting the new iPhone.
That's a little steep. I don't know that I can go that that intense.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
Whatever you buy yourself for your birthday, just tell me about it.
Whatever you buy. Wait, say that again.
Whatever you buy yourself for your birthday, just tell me about it. Just rub it in my face afterwards.
Okay.
Preferably on a podcast episode.
Okay.
I can do that.
For my birthday or for whatever I buy for your birthday?
Whatever you buy yourself for my birthday.
Okay. Gotcha.
When is your birthday?
April 13th.
Did you hear that, people? April 13th. Send this man
one
card. Or even better than that, for Forrest's birthday, you know what I want for Forrest's birthday? I want a positive review. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get it done. Positive review on Facebook by 4:13.
That would be pretty awesome. And at the end of it, like, feel free to say happy birthday, Forrest and Cole. That would be pretty awesome too.
That'd be amazing.
Don't have no fear. Like, don't worry about doing that. All right, well, it's been a great episode of Faith Football Friends. I think it's been a lot of fun, as always, to talk to my awesome friends, Forrest and Cole, and I'm thankful for all of you who listen to our podcast. We hope that you will continue to listen, that you'll continue to enjoy, and please, 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 please give us a positive review on Facebook. Thank you, and have a great day.